Hey, patrons, welcome to the post show. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great.
It was a lot of fun, yeah.
I had a lot of fun. Most of that stuff about the character, I basically turned him into a fanboy of Berg about halfway through the episode.
I like it.
That was a lot of fun to turn into, without a doubt.
Yeah, I think he likes you better than me now.
Yeah,
I like the idea that you were studying him, and now you're face to face with the reality, and you're like, oh wow, neat. And then it'll lead us through some nice stuff, because then you can have that conversation where Berg is like, stop thinking of me as these stories. I'm a person, or like he can do something to like lock down. There's lots of like good stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's also the possible eventuality that like he doesn't live up to the stories, and that's what I'm super excited for. There was a lot of moments in the show where like, and I think I didn't do this, or I couldn't do this with past characters, where I was just like, well, how would a turtle react in this, particular, sequence of events? Like when you were like egging me on with those kids, you wanted me to do something to those kids, but like,
I was mostly just curious, right? Cause we're learning about the characters as we play. And so rather than just ask you a bunch of direct questions, I was like, all right, let's see what happens if these like kids harass him, or like, let's see what happens when the immortals show up. Like there's lots of little different things I thought I could use. And that's what's fun about having a new character in a game from a GM perspective, is that you get to show the audience things about the character, and in the process you learn things about them too.
Yeah, it's a little difficult, at least for me it was a little difficult to portray. Like the reason I didn't answer those kids is because like I would think in turtle society maturity just isn't a thing. Like everyone is mature. There's no sense of like childish actions, and so to me that whole thing is just fucking weird. Like I don't get it.
Yeah
like I thought they wanted to talk to me, I thought they wanted to have a conversation because that happens, and then they just tried to fuck with me, and I just didn't know how to react. And so that was super fun to play with. I appreciate you kind of testing me there. Zeke, I think with you kind of got to play, I felt like you not necessarily meant to play that character, but you played that character very well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you very much. I had a blast, and I never quite before you get started doing one of these adventures or doing this role playing stuff, you never quite have their voice down until you're confronted with the actual gameplay.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I was walking around my house, like attempting like different accents, different styles, stuff like that. And it wasn't until I had the opportunity to speak to, or Calimount had the opportunity to speak to Berg's character, or Berg, that I finally was like, okay, this is how I'm going to talk now. Okay, cool. All right, I got it.
Yeah.
I love hearing that. No, I love hearing that, because it's like, yeah, whenever I have a new character and stuff, I go through the exact same thing. I think about who they are. I picture like what their face looks like, what they might interact with people, how they would interact with somebody. Usually it's always a phrase that I go to snap me into the voice and kind of shapes what that person's about. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's cool to hear that. I like hearing other people's process and them go through that.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I walk around my house, like I'm sitting on the toilet, like talking, like doing song lyrics if I can't, like speaking song lyrics if I can't think of anything to say.
Yeah, I wanted to do like an accent, but then I just realized, well, a turtle is probably just going to speak, especially one that's like based on logic and based on like maturity and the understanding of, or the wanting to like further knowledge of just, that's their racial goal. They just talk slow. There's nothing. Yeah. They don't have like a funny voice. They're just very methodical and logical and slow to act on anything.
No, it makes for some fucking hilarious interactions for sure.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I think that the way you played that too, that character, and thinking about, like you said, not only the fact that he is a turtle, he is logical. So those are going to go hand in hand. That even if you do speak slowly as somebody who isn't logical, and that wasn't baked into their culture, like you take your time. I really enjoyed the like what you say is important, all that.
Yeah.
That was great. One, for us to learn your character, and also learn why you speak that way and all that. It's good. That was a perfect example of people being able to still do something with their voice and make it, work with their character without being like, hi guys, I'm such and such.
Right. I, there was, the hardest part about that entire conversation is like when we confirmed you were Berg, I almost was like, yeah, I'm gonna cast Minor Illusion and a firework goes off behind me. Because like that's a way to show that I'm excited, but it's like that's gonna break the fucking RP moment too hard, so I'm just not gonna do that. But I might do some of that stuff in the future.
And don't think that I'm gonna let the fact that you smiled, like I'm not gonna let that lie there. As soon as we get to safety or we're out of this situation, I'm going to bring that up.
Oh yeah,
and fucking ask you about that shit. Like, what the fuck is wrong with your face?
Yeah, I'm excited to go upstairs when you're like, let's claim our belongings, because like, there's nothing in that room. Everything that I have is in my fucking tiny hut that you interrupted and didn't let me cast.
Yeah.
Oh, my shit is fucking perfectly. It's spread, you're ready out, to go. But it's laid out. Yeah. All of my clothes are laid out, and I'm just gonna like scoop them up. Well, you know, we'll go through it. But.
Yeah. That'll be a lot of fun. But yeah, what'd you guys? I mean, we kind of got to experience, but it was definitely a more RP centric episode, which we've had before. But I don't know if we can really weigh in too much on the new system, so to speak, because
no, haven't really experienced it too much. That's the thing. I think we'll need several, especially because some of you have like fairly lofty goals. We'll need several episodes to really give it some time to see how it goes, see how the pacing is, and see if you're achieving your goals. And because you have the ability to change too, if you're like, I haven't achieved a goal in a while, I need to change my goals. So I have something that's totally. Like today, I can do this now.
Yeah.
But it did feel nice not having to like shoehorn in combat encounters or anything. Like I didn't feel the need to be like suddenly guys with knives. I was just like, okay, there's an encounter with a priest and you get to hang out and talk to him. And like, if you treated him differently or something had gone differently, then that he wouldn't have come back with the goons, but he did. And then you don't have to fight him. You could run away, but you're not losing out on anything by not engaging in the fight. Right? Like there's no, well, we should just stay and fireball these guys so that we could all get 200 experience.
Yeah,
it's a tough situation to draw the line between what injecting in excitement, because there's been, I mean, I've been a part of role playing sessions where it's a lot of role playing and talking and stuff like that, but it gets stale and I'm sure the DM and I'm sure probably the players were like, can we just do a battle to like liven up the situation?
Well, and so,
never felt like that tonight at all.
So part of my job as a GM, like generally, not just in D&D, is like pacing control, right? Is being like, okay, like I think we've gotten what we need out of this scene. Let's try another thing, right? So I can be like, okay, cool. So you guys talk for another half hour and what comes out of it, right? Like, because I think there is a thing with role playing where you can have too much as well as too little, right? So you can have scenes where you're like, cool, well, like you've said everything you're going to say and the conversation has basically come to the point we need it to come to narratively, let's do something different. So somewhere else or like later, you know.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed that. It gives you a nice little break too as the role player too. You don't have to constantly be talking and having this conversation that never ends. And
there is a tendency in role-playing games to detail every single second of every single day all the time in your character's lives, to be like, and then what do you do? And then what do you do? Okay, and now what? And now what happens? And then what? Where do you go after that? I think it's because, and for me, because I come from a background of thinking about this sort of cinematically, I like to be like, cool, is the scene resolved? If so, what is the next natural thing? How long is that? Like, cool, 3 days later, you wake up at the inn, right? Instead of being like, cool, you went shopping. Now what do? Do you go to the wizard's house? Okay, what street do you take to get there?
Yeah, playing out every single motion or hour or whatever like that. I'm glad that's your standpoint on that kind of shit are skippable.
Well, that's the thing is my modus operandi is that the characters are always doing interesting stuff, but we don't need to see all of it. And it's totally fine to just move on, to be like, cool. All right. What's the next cool thing y'all want to do?
Right.
And that'll keep us going. And that I feel like that's a responsibility that I have to be like you guys can just be like, cool, we're done with this scene. What's the next thing? But I'm also going to be there to kind of push a little bit and say, hey, how about this? How about we do this thing instead?
Yeah. I'm real interested to see how Dan's character fits in with us, because I think that's going to be.
Yeah.
I think two things. I think one, it won't be necessarily a struggle, but there's definitely going to be a lot of internal conflict. And I also think that we'll actually get, like, there's going to be so many different things that we'll see from Ramis in that initial thing that's not just like him being, you know, the snide remark guy. And I think that'll be kind of cool.
Well, and that's, I think that's the thing too, is that now that the characters have more room to breathe and that we're not doing necessarily an intentional focus on combat, the characters have the opportunity to become more than just between combat, like voice lines, you know? There's definitely a tendency if you do a lot of fighting, just be like, cool, my character says, have at thee, and I attack, and I make an attack roll. And like, that's not characterization, right? You're just like doing a voice to deliver like a short sound bite.
Yeah, exactly.
I am interested in seeing if we can learn a little more about Ramis and why he is the trash bag that he is.
Yeah, because we never really have. Like, even though he's been around the show for a long time, we've never we've learned a little bit about like non-Revenant Ramis in terms of why he was so into the when he, that was when he was a Sun cleric, right? Was that the Sun? Yeah. And now he draws power from a different place. So like, we never even learned why or how he got that power. We just kind of said like, yeah, well, you're back. You're now like Revenant Ramis. So that'll be really fun. Plus that's one of the goals for, so I'll definitely be like pegging him for that information, which will be super fun. Yeah, Max, how about you? Cause you were kind of the, in a sense you did what Berg's done since the beginning of the show and were kind of like the main focal point in a weird way. How was kind of playing that?
I think, I mean, he is narratively obviously like one of the biggest focal points and stuff because he's endured and been around the entire time and survived. But I think this is one of the first times Berg's actually encountered that in the world in terms of like, holy shit, you're Berg. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Nobody really does that. It's more like, holy shit, you're like really weird and I'm kind of scared of you. You know what I mean? Well,
yeah. And also like most of the time when you meet people, because of all of the cultural stuff that exists in the setting, people are like, hey, here's a big dumb orc. He's going to probably kill somebody. Or like, where's this orc's owner? Who owns this orc? Right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like you're a person, you're Berg who happens also to be a half orc. It's And so I think that's really cool. I think it's neat seeing that.
Yeah. Well, I try to show that too a little bit sometimes when somebody talks to Berg, not in a demeaning way, not in a way that they're looking down at him. Berg kind of is a little intrigued by them. You know, and like he notices that. That's why that interaction with the priest could have gone two ways. Because initially, I didn't know who he was and stuff as a player and also as Berg.
Yeah.
So when he said brother and he was like, you know, talking to him like a person, he was like, thanks at first. And then, you know, once he started trying to get involved, like I can help you. First, Berg was like, well, no, you can't. And two, he was like, why are you so interested in me all of a sudden? You know, I mean, people aren't like that normally to me. So it kind of made his kind of thick skull and simple mind start to work a little bit. So, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to play and think about how Berg would react to people being like, whoa, you're this badass guy. You did this and this and like, you know what I mean? And that's still kind of something I'm going to think about and how he'd process that. And like you said, we'll see that play out between myself and Sally Hoffa and Kalimat and stuff. But it'll be interesting to see which way Berg goes, because I don't even exactly know. It's all just going to be dependent on the scenarios and how people talk to Berg and whatever.
Yeah. I think that entire sequence of events at the table was fun for Zeke to watch. Cause one, he's brand new to this world. He's never even heard your voice. I read his lips right when we went to break where Zeke was saying like, dude, your voice, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh yeah, he's talking to him about his voice. I can see that right now.
Yeah, man. Like that first interaction just gave me chills. I was like, this is fucking awesome. It was so much fun.
Yeah. And seeing that, and then I didn't know, like, part of me was like, all right, he's going to flip this table the second we put this piece of paper down onto the table.
Oh,
we kind of wanted you to.
You missed that conversation too. So this is the thing. Folks on Patreon might not know this, but when we go to break, the way the audio is set up, the cast can, we talk and we can hear each other, but JP can't hear us when we're talking. And so we'll sometimes miss these things. So JP, the conversation that you missed was, we were all laughing about that because the whole scene was so tense. We just burst into laughter as soon as we went to commercial. And it was that like tension breaking laughter. And I was saying, and I think Zeke was backing me up on this, where I was like, I didn't know when you call him you're like the slave, I was like, oh shit.
No, see, and I thought about that for days. I was like, I'm gonna call him a slave and mean it in the most endearing way. But
because he might not take it. Yeah. And so what was great was watching, and I could see this on Max's face. I could see it happening where it went from like the rage was building, like, oh, you didn't just call me a slave, right? And then you mentioned Azure Vortex, and I could see
that was planned too.
It was so good. It was so good because it just dropped, right? It just suddenly became like, oh.
I don't know if a lot of people. I mean, I'm glad you were able to see that because it's something I consciously do where we're not like face acting, but having that emotion and trying to at least convey a little bit of that on the face, like for the role player, means so much, like to me, and it's so much fun. Like, when I was thinking about Azure Vortex and stuff, I try to conjure, like, tears, and I'm like,
sad feels.
I'm not, like, sitting here fucking bawling or anything like that, but you know what I mean? I try to, like, give the people something visually to understand where Berg is at emotionally.
Yeah.
And I gotta tell you, like, sitting there and, like, you were landing on words and pausing so much, JP, that there were so many times where I was a fucking nanosecond in from trying to, like, situation or like like calm everybody down or something, like try and use my persuasion to not have him kill you.
It was
whatever.
One thing that
but
I was
it was so like well timed. It was like the slave, and I was like,
yeah, I was real nervous.
Did this, and I was like, oh god, thank god.
I was really nervous about that because with Skype it adds such a weird element. Like, pauses are just like in real life, pauses are a way to enter into a conversation. But in Skype, because we're all people that stream for a living, we hate dead air. And so it's such an odd thing. Like, I tried to let that go as long as possible. Yeah, and it's something I get used to.
I think it's really cool to try to explore that space too, because this comes up when we talk about using filler words, in that it's not just a way to buy yourself time to think, but a way to indicate to everybody else, like, please don't interrupt me, I'm still talking. Yeah. And I think that as we get better at leaving those spaces, because I think we all experienced that today where there were several moments where we're like,
yeah,
like, are you gonna say something? It's like, oh my god. You know, as we get better at embracing those moments and understanding that they are there for tension, we'll get a lot more mileage out of that sort of emptiness, that space. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and if you notice, like, when you were saying, because you were saying the word, you said the word slave and then paused. If you notice, like, previously in the episode, I purposely fucking avoided using those words. I said words like bondage and servitude like that. I purposely avoided all those words on purpose.
Which is great, because for Max, like, the trigger word for Berg historically over 50 episodes or however long he's been around is slave. Like,
yeah,
that was the word that in our party, if you wanted to get Berg to do something or get him upset, you called him a slave. Uh-huh. And it triggers his character. So, like, the fact that you played on that was perfect to play with.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of fun.
You were saying, like, you were worried that Berg was going to flip out. I didn't know exactly where he was going to go with that either.
I wanted you to so bad.
I thought for a second, well, I was almost going to do it, and two things happened. One, your tone and the cadence with which your guy was talking, it didn't sound threatening. And also, I drew on the fact that Berg is older, and he's heard that word multiple times, and he knows that maybe it's not the best thing to do every single time. And then you also mentioned Azure Vortex, meaning, from what Berg could gather, like, you know a lot more than you should know, and mentioning her and then how he's gone through pain and stuff. Again, it all comes back to your, like, tone and the way you said certain things. Then and just also just the flood of emotions that comes from you mentioning Azure Vortex, which Berg cannot control. He's a lot of parts of his psyche is uncontrolled, and that is definitely one of them. Where,
well, and that's, I mean,
Can't just push that out of his head. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's a thing that emerges from the fact that he's a berserker, right? He's a barbarian.
Yeah. Yep.
And his rage is what gives him power. And the rage is the thing that is, like, adjacent to that shard of darkness that's down inside you, which we'll learn more about as we go. So.
And don't think I'm going to let that shit lay there, because I have no idea what this Azure thing is at all.
Yeah. Well, that's...
So I'm going to get this out of you. You're keeping shit from me. I don't like it.
I think one of the cool things about the character now is like, at least for my character, after playing him for an episode and, like, basically turning him into this Berg fanboy, I think, and I said this in the episode, like, I think I've been to those caverns. I think I've met Persnidgetron or met someone who knew Persnidgetron. I think I've met Azure Vortex's brother that like lives in that city.
Are kind of coming together, right?
Yeah. I've been in those places both as a character and as a player in those places at the same time.
It's a great narrative trick to both sort of recap and tie the current thing to our pre-existing campaign, and then to be able to illustrate and revisit those things, right? Through this new character to kind of invite people in to be like, you're not going to understand everything, but this character in the game, right? Salihava will like let you know, you'll learn through them.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
I'll probably do things that like tweak the story to something that, you know, stories change over time. So I'll just either embellish or whatever the opposite of embellish is for the stories to make Berg seem better or worse than he actually is, which will be a lot of fun. But yeah, like you're saying, Adam, I saw so many people in chat, like what episode should I start on for Berg to like learn of all this stuff? Cause like, I want to see this stuff in actual play. And that was really cool to see.
Yeah. That is really cool
for people wanting to go visit the backlog stuff. So,
and it's also like, good luck. Cause I don't even know.
I mean, they
can track that stuff way better than I would ever know. I don't know. Like there's a lot of stuff that's happened to Berg. So I don't know.
Yeah. A lot of that stuff is buried in episodes for sure. That was a super fun episode. I'm real curious. Go ahead.
I am kind of sorry that I created like this commotion and distraction or whatever, and I didn't allow, you know, Berg to do what he does. I wanted to see him just smash.
No, that's better for my character because I'll get mad at you. I'll actually have like emotion for once.
Yeah.
Okay.
He wanted to see Berg do his thing.
Yeah.
And Berg was just about to. He was so close.
On my fucking face. Yeah. I walked in the door and just like, Jesus.
Again, that was one of those moments where I was like, well, maybe when he opens that door, the camera like pans to me and I have a jubilant, you know, glee on my face, and then sees that it's Kali, and I immediately lose that. But I was like, nope, one smile's enough for the episode. Like we got to keep that shit even kilter throughout the season. So yeah, it'll be, again, I was going to say, Ramus is going to be a wild card next week. I really want to see, both as a character and as Dan, as a player, like how that works out. Cause there's so many ways it could go. Like so many ways. And I hope that he is against it in like an interesting, it's so like, and we talked about this after the live show, it's so hard to have like internal conflict in parties and take it just to the point of not being a, not necessarily an annoyance, but a hindrance to the party and to the show and to the RP.
Tension is good. But there is definitely a feeling, everyone who's ever played a role-playing game, I think, has had that moment where they're like, ugh, this got awkward now. And not in a, like, you're being weird, but in a, like, oh, we're all just, like, being shitty to each other as people and not as characters anymore. Right. Where you're just, you know, you can hear someone be like, God damn it, Sally, I can't stand it when you're like, you know, and you're like, okay, just, and it's, you want to get close to that with characters. You can have relationships that are antagonistic, but you don't ever want to be in that place where you're just like, this isn't fun because I hate you.
Yeah.
You know, like you're ruining this game for me by being a dick. You want that fun, like, hey, let's poke at each other a little bit and like see what it teaches us about our characters.
Yeah. So I'm super curious to see how that goes. But let us know in the comments if you guys liked kind of the dive into RP. I think you'll probably see a lot more of that, at least than you normally would here on Court of Swords. And we love feedback, so post in the comments here on Patreon. And Zeke, thanks again for coming on. I think it's going to be a fun moment, however long you're on the just show.
Just one quick question. Do we normally handle experience at the end of the thing, or do we do the beginning of the next day?
Right.
Or do... No, I know we might not have gotten any, but...
If you resolve a goal, just tell me. Just be like, hey, I think I completed my goal, and I'll give you your XP right there, then and there.
Okay,
cool.
We do level ups when there's like time for the character to rest and reflect. But if you get a goal completed, just be like, goal, I got it. I'm done.
And yeah, that's
give it to you.
That's one of those things, because usually we do the goal stuff at the end of the episode, at least another role play episode or role play show. So we'll probably start incorporating that into this one.
Yeah, this one you can just let me know when you've resolved a goal. And then we'll go from there. Somebody suggested when I was doing my GM stream earlier, Max, if you're hurting for a goal, learning more about the origins and the story of your hammer
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one. Adam, would that not be an artifact that could teach me about the creators and caretakers of the plane?
It could very easily be, yep.
That's because the second I saw that, I was like, oh, that's a goal for next episode. I'm going to study that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. So we can, that could be a dual goal, maybe.
For yes, exactly. You can have overlapping goals.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. And then one other thing that I love that you did, Adam, was when you mentioned the soulless one, you said it exactly how I had written my goal. And then I think both me and Zeke said at the same time, yeah, like the perfect reaction that I hope came through as well as it did for the two of us being able to hear each other. Cause that was great. That was super cool.
Yeah. That one was really good. Cause you were all like, he is real. And Zeke was like, say what?
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't even talk like the fucking, Max, did you freak out as much as I did when he was like, yeah, the Immortals are coming out? Was that was that a big thing to you? Because for me, I was just like, wait, what the fuck? Like that's a big thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I like myself as a player was like, I had to kind of double take in my head mentally, like with Immortals, what the fuck? But as Berg, like Berg is not going to be so easily like, oh, let's go see the Immortals. He's only knows a little bit, you know, he knows it's a big deal and stuff.
Yeah.
But Berg wouldn't be so, you know, like, let's go see them. Totally. Let's go out in the open in public, like while a thing is happening.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And then when they were coming out and stuff was going down, I didn't know where the fuck that was going to go.
Like, yeah.
I knew something was probably going to happen. But
Zeke, for us, the Immortals are something that Adam has like referenced many episodes of like different things and different ways they have their fingers in kind of the City of Brass. And so for them to come out like, he did a really good job of making it a big thing, but it's like, that's a pretty fucking big deal for that to occur.
I'm really glad that I rolled as good as I did to know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Because exactly.
If I know what's going on, I feel like it can usher us into a, you know,
yeah.
Yeah.
Into the action quickly.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, dude, seeing that and seeing, just imagining them just going and everybody's going,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I wonder, and maybe Adam.
Now us three are just standing here like,
what the fuck? Hey, how's it going?
I wonder.
Obviously, they want to say something to us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Adam, you might know the answer to this, but I wonder if Dan will have a conversation with the Immortals next episode, if they'll do the same thing to him.
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as like powerful entities with an interest in the party, I'm curious if Dan, because Dan and I talked ages and ages ago, Inanna promised him something a long time ago, and he hasn't cashed in on it. So I suspect that might be what he is up to, but we'll see. Yeah, there's definitely things going on in the City of Brass.
So. Yeah, I think we need to. When you brought that up, I acted as if I didn't know who that was, but I don't know. I guess I need to figure out like how much of the wizarding world of Court of Swords that I know. Cause like if she's that big of a deal, then I might know, you know, not to fuck with her or that she isn't.
Yeah.
That big
I mean, in terms of like the power overall kind of like influential level. Yeah. Like the Immortals are here and then the kind of wizards that occupy the City of Brass are below them. And then everybody else is down here. Yeah. The wizards I think are kept in check by the Immortals, but if they ever got like all got together to like overthrow them, that might be possible. So they're a big deal, but I think that the wizards are sort of strange and remain hidden in a way that the Immortals aren't. The Immortals are like out in the open sometimes. So whether your character would know would depend on like a history check or an arcana check.
Gotcha.
What you would know about Inanna specifically.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then what the other thing, when the Immortals were here and Zeke was trying to get us to go outside, I said something to the effect of like, well, that's not my task. If for whatever reason you just want to have other turtles like studying this shit, because that's not necessarily my goal in life, right?
Yeah.
But it might be someone else's. That's kind of why I said that. But that would be interesting to have other turtle. We could just bore the fuck out of everyone, just going back and forth, speaking like five words every 30 seconds. Just it'd be a great conversation. It'd be fun. Anything else you guys want to mention?
No, I think that's kind of it.
Cool. All right. We're good. We're done. We'll see you guys next Tuesday then for more. Let us know in the comments what you thought of the show. And we'll be back next Tuesday, 6 o'clock Eastern. We're out. Bye-bye.